8 p.m. Bulova Boulevard Watch Time. WABC, New York. 880 on your dial.
Monday, January 5th, Bromo Seltzer brings you Vox Pop, the voice of the people, conducted by Park Johnson and Wally Butterworth. Tonight, Vox Pop dedicates its program to that gallant bunch of defenders at Wake Island. We're broadcasting direct from the East Coast home base of the United States Marines. The Marine Barracks at Quantico, Virginia. Major General Lewis M. Little commanding. 3,000 enlisted men and officers, ladies and gentlemen, are gathered for this special broadcast. And as we get underway, they roar out for all the world to hear. Okay, Parks Johnson.
Okay, Bill Bivens. And folks, no Marine needs an introduction. Just the statement that he is a United States Marine tells the story. And folks, there is a Marine. Sergeant Donald L. Truso. Where are you from, Sergeant Truso?
Camden, South Carolina.
Good old Camden. How long have you been in the Marine Corps?
17 years.
That's almost a career, isn't it, Sergeant?
Just about.
Just about. Are you married?
Yes.
Any children?
No.
Okay. Now, Sergeant, if you had your life to live all over again, would you join the Marines again?
I sure would.
You sure would. I bet you would. And from the looks of you, I know that you would. Is it true that every Marine Sergeant is a good shot?
As a rule, they are, sir.
As a rule, I believe I was told somewhere around here today that at least the majority of them are experts. I see you've got expert badges all over you. You really must know something about shooting after 17 years. But maybe you need a little practice. How about a little parlor gun for the sergeant, fellas? Bring that little toy machine gun out, will you, Bill? I think maybe, Sergeant, you better keep in practice. Right now, you know, times being what they are, why, and all like that. Will you put it over there for the sergeant?
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. You can't use it, can you?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Sergeant, suppose that you would turn loose, let's say in the hills of the Philippines, with 25 Marines, what would you do?
I'd bring back 500 Japs a year.
What? Brother, I know you would, too. Well, you must be somewhat of an expert in this guerrilla warfare.
I know quite a bit about it, I think.
You think you do?
Yes, sir. I think so.
You've done quite a bit of it?
I've done a good bit of it, yes.
Have you trained men to do it?
Yes.
How would you train a group of 25 men? Let's say that you have that 25 you're going to take out. How would you train them?
First, they're going to get me some bush boys. Boys that didn't mind enduring hardships. Want to go along and learn how to shoot and judge distance and go in any kind of weather and anything and to make contact where we could kill off the biggest part of them.
Well, would you take any machine guns along with you?
No, I'd just carry rifles, that's all. After I taught them how to shoot and know they were good shots because it just takes one shot to rub out a man, that's all.
Just one shot for a Marine, huh?
That's all.
Is that right? Well, maybe you're right about it. Wouldn't airplanes bother you out in the bush like that?
No, the airplanes couldn't bother you. Traveling in small groups because you can't see, and especially if the bush is thick.
Uh-huh. Sergeant, what's the best way to whip the Japs? Well, an old 17-year experienced Marine, I'd like to ask you that.
Well, use the same ruthlessness that they're using on our boys, only a little worse.
You really believe in being tough, huh? I think, Sergeant, maybe a lot of us could take that lesson to heart, that not only do our boys out front, our men out there have to be tough, but I think the civilians should get some of that themselves, don't you?
No, sure do.
Back them up. Sergeant, do you mind a quick little game with me? For instance, who comes from Sweden? Who would you say?
The Swedes.
All right, who comes from from Poland?
Poles.
And what comes from Germany?
Joims.
Joims, huh? Sergeant, we know that you love your home, so Bromo Seltzer has for you two presents. First of all, we've got a steam iron here that's electrically operated. Boy, I'd like to play with that myself. And second, a big electric oven and broiler, one of these great big automatic things. Can you use them?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. Bring them out for the sergeant. Put them over there. And thank you very much, Sergeant Tuesto. Folks, I waited until Sergeant Truesdell had left the microphone to say that he is minus his right hand, but that in place of it, he wears the highest award that our government can give, the Congressional Medal of Honor. He's a real hero.
And we're proud to have had him with us on Vox Pop tonight. How are you, Wally? Ready? Folks, we're all brothers and sisters under the skin, and here's Bill Bivens to tell you about something that happens to just about all of us one time or another.
Friends, how many times do you say, well, gosh, I feel terrible. I can't seem to think, and I don't want to talk. Just want to go away and lie down. This headache's killing me. Yes, you bet you feel miserable when you've got a headache. And you know why? Because most likely you've got more than just a pain in the head. When you have a headache, your nerves and stomach are so often affected, too. And friends, that's when, for really comforting relief, you need three-way action. Bromo Seltzer has been scientifically designed to do just that. First, it relieves the pain of the headache itself. Second, it helps calm jumpy nerves. And third, it helps settle upset stomach. So friends, don't let a headache keep you from doing your work or enjoying your play. When your headache has you depressed and grumbly, too miserable for words, take Bromo Seltzer. And believe me, you'll never know the relief you can expect from Bromo Seltzer until you try it. All right, Wally, who's next from the Quantico Marine Barracks?
Another sergeant of the Marine Corps, Bill, thank you. Sergeant Lee J. Rand of Chicago, Illinois. Marksmanship, sharp shooter, and everything else.
Hello,
welcome,
Wally.
Sergeant. How long have you been in the Marine Corps?
8 years, Wally.
What time does a Marine get up in the morning?
Oh, I would say about 5:30.
Is that right, boy? I guess it is. What kind of work do you do?
I work in the Battalion Sergeant Major's office.
How did you come to land in the Marine Corps?
Well, that idea germinated while I was still working for the Illinois Bell Telephone Company in the Underground Construction Division. We were splicing cable in a manhole, and the man I was assisting was an ex-Marine who served in China. I think he sold me down the river in China.
But you're glad you went in, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
Well, what is the nicest thing that Vox Pop, you could have Vox Pop say about the Marine Corps on the program now?
Well, I think the time is apropos to speak about those gallant Marines on Wake Island who wrote such a brilliant chapter in the history of Marines.
I agree with you. Have you seen any overseas service yourself?
Well, I was in China during that 1937 trouble.
Oh, you were? You haven't been in Europe?
No, sir, I have.
Well, that brings up a question. Does Brother Mussolini part his hair on the left or on the right?
Well, sir, I don't think he parts it on either side, and when the Marines get through with him, he won't even have a scalp.
Well, I think probably Britain's done a little hair parting for him, too, haven't they, to wear it down. Well, I'll tell you, we have a nice little gift here that we're going to dedicate to Brother Mussolini. Bring out those 2 dozen cheeseburgers, will you? give them to the sergeant here. Sergeant, would you care to be... There they are, boy. You're really going to eat. Would you care to be in the Orient right now?
Oh, I wouldn't mind it.
Where would you like to be?
Oh, the Philippines.
Mm-hmm. How is life over there? You were in China, you say?
Well, perhaps the best way to describe that, China to a Marine is the land of milk and honey.
Woo! Do tell. What's that mean?
Well, you live like a Hindu potentate.
You mean your money goes a long way?
That's right.
Well, I understand it is pretty high, though, right now.
Well, the last I heard from, about 23 for one.
23 for one. Any of the boys want to go? Well, as long as your money goes far, that's a nice place to be. But anyhow, Sergeant, Bromo Seltzer wants you to have this gift. You are a married man, as I understand.
Yes, sir.
All right, we have a lovely piece of luggage here for your wife and a pair of table lamps for your living room. Will you bring them out, please, and give them to the Sergeant with our compliments?
Always good things from Bromo Seltzer.
Thank you very much. All right, Sergeant. Come in, Introducing Red, no first name, Luddington. He's the biggest Marine I ever saw, and he's one who thinks that if you aren't a Marine, you just don't rate. Is that right, Red?
That's right.
Oh, boy. You have got a first name, haven't you, Red?
Yeah, but I never use it.
Why not, Red?
Oh, pretty bad.
They call you Red all the time, maybe? Or something
Red
like
all
that?
The time.
How long you been in the Marines?
11 years.
Lemieux's. You don't look old enough to have been in that Lemieux's. When'd you come in?
I came in when I was a young boy.
Oh, yeah. You've been everywhere and seen everything?
Almost.
Almost. Red, what's your fighting weight?
About 220.
About 220.
Yeah.
Is that for the Japs or in the ring?
Oh, that's the ring.
That's the ring. Well, what weight for the Japs?
Oh, any weight. For
just
them.
Any weight, huh? Yeah. Doesn't make any difference about that. Well, they tell me that when you were out in the Far East, they had the boys lined up outside the gymnasium just waiting for a crack at you for in the ring. Is that right?
That's right. It was a little too heavy, though. That's right.
Did you have many fights out there?
Just a few, not very many.
Just a few, huh? Yeah. Red, do you use a bathrobe when you go into the ring like all the old professional fighters and everything? Huh?
Well, a little bit.
You live there? Well, we got something here for you that I don't think is quite a bathrobe, but you might use it at that in your next bout. It's a great big, it's the biggest flannel nightshirt we can find. Red,
boys. This fits.
This fits, huh? Red, just for the record, what do you weigh now?
285.
I wasn't far wrong when I said you about the biggest Marine, was it? Huh?
I don't know.
I haven't seen anything bigger than you. Say, do you know what a brig is, Red?
A boat?
No, Red, I mean a modern-day brig. What is a brig in modern-day language? Don't skip the question.
You got me.
Don't you know what the brig is?
I don't know.
Well, I'll put it this way, Red. Have you ever seen a ship's brig? Huh? You've seen
yes,
one?
Yes, I've been.
Oh, you have.
I've been
what
there.
Are. Well, what is a brig?
Oh, a brig. This guy gets put in there, you know.
Yeah? Sort of put in there to think over his mistakes, huh?
Think over your mistakes and... remember next time.
I see. All right. Now, Red, here's what I want to ask you. From your observation, you can't kid me. I know you've seen a brig and all like that. I mean, at least if I passed by one. Every brig on every ship in the Navy, it's got a door, and that door has a number of lattice things across it, you know, which leaves certain holes of ventilation. There are exactly the same number of square holes in each door in each brig on every ship in the Navy. You know how many?
48.
Oh, you do know. You do know. Yes, sir, there's one for every state in the Union. Now, Red, one little thing here. If you had your pick of every place in the world where you would like to be today, where would that be?
Tokyo.
Tokyo? Boy, I knew you were a fighting Marine. And our visit with the Marines here has made me feel very keenly that I want to be inconvenienced and that I want to do a little bit of suffering some way to back up not only our fighting Marines, but all of Uncle Sam's fighting men, typified by these men here tonight. And Red, two little things for you. You like to know what time it is, don't you? Well, Bromo Seltzer has for you a Navy-style electric clock and, here's something, I wonder if this big electrically heated blanket, one of those kinds that stays at the same temperature all day and all night long, I wonder if it's big enough to cover him. Yes, it is.
Thanks
Thank
a lot.
You very much, Red.
Thanks a lot.
Enjoyed having you.
Okay, Wally. I'm going to ask this gentleman to say his name.
Private Robert L. Gillis, your home. I'm to from Detroit, Michigan.
I'm very glad to know there are some Buck privates left in the Marine Corps.
Quite a few, Wally.
How many years have you been in service?
Not even 1 year. I've been in about 5 months. I'm just a boot.
What kind of work do you do?
Well, I'm attached to the radio company of the 4th Signal Battalion here at Quantico.
Signal for all work.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Communication. Quickly, how many bees are there in the word Philippines?
Well, I'd say there were three. You go, Wally.
What'd you do?
Well, I studied law at the University of Michigan.
Have you, were you graduated?
Yes, I was.
Good for you. Are you eligible in the near future for the officer training school?
I hope that I may have a chance to get a commission in the near future, yes.
I wish you good luck, sir. If you've gone in your best legal style.
Papa, Mama, and Johnny.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Okay.
One day. Yes, you'll be all right. I think you'll make up as a new man.
To me, both from physical and mental discipline. And I think the thing that impressed me the most was the fact that every man in the Marine Corps has the same pride in the tradition of his corps and the same confidence that he himself has the ability to carry on those traditions in the best tradition that the Marine Corps has ever had.
Then I take it, Private, that you're right proud of that uniform you're wearing.
Well, Wally, wouldn't any man be proud to wear the same uniform as did those boys who defended Wake Island?
He certainly would be proud to be. Now, what, with righteous indignation, what do you think we should do to those Japs over there? How do you think the Marines should treat them?
Well, I think we ought to get real tough this time. We kind of had them monkeyed around last time, I think, and didn't settle the question. But this time, if they give us a chance, why, it'll either be no Japan or the United States, and I ask you which one you think is going to be left.
There's no question about who's going to get the chance either, brother. Now the Marines are soldiers of the sea, aren't they?
That's what they call us, yes.
Good. Say that backward for me, will you, that sentence? The Marines are soldiers of the sea.
The Marines are soldiers of the sea. Soldiers, the of...
Sea comes first.
Sea, the of, Marines, of soldiers.
Our soldiers. Well, you're on the way to it anyhow. And
well,
Broma Seltzer appreciates your kindness for coming up, Private. And we have for you a pair of nice gifts, one of which is a movie camera, and the other is a handbag for you to do some of your traveling in.
Well, thank you.
That's We're wonderful. Very happy to have you. Now, Private Gillis, as the only unmarried Marine on our program tonight, we've marked out a third prize for you, a little something extra. Out in Hollywood, California, by special appointment, is a glamorous movie star who wants to find out from you all about the Marines. She's beautiful, she's a top star, and right now she is making Highly Irregular, a feature for Columbia Pictures. May I present Private Gillis, Miss Joan Bennett.
I have a promo seltzer before or after this. Hello, Miss Bennett. I, you know, if Wally didn't have such an honest face, I'd almost demand some verification of this. I can't believe it's true. Yeah, if I had known that the Marines rated women like this, I certainly would have joined the service a long, long time ago.
What'd you say?
Pardon me?
Oh, she's beautiful.
She has an uncle that's a colonel in the Marines.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, that'll give me a good start.
You're
Miss Bennett, I'd like to put in an application right now for first place on the waiting list in case you ever want a bodyguard. You know, the Marines are pretty good at that sort of thing. May I ask you a personal question? All the Marines will be interested in an answer, but this is just for me. Do you share the same opinion of a lot of people that the Marines are pretty swell guys? Wally, I want to transfer to San Diego right now.
Well, you transfer over there in the corner and just carry on that conversation with Miss Bennett to your heart's content. Go right to it. And now, if you folks don't mind, I've got a question for men listening in at home. Be honest now, fellas. How many times do you come home after a long, grueling day, tired and depressed, headachy and miserable? The better half suggests a movie, and you yell at her, "Movies? Not on your life. All I want to do is lie down. I feel terrible." Well, mister, of course you feel terrible. Because, like Bill Bivens just told you, ordinary headaches often affect your nerves and stomach as well. But man alive, why go on suffering when Bromo Seltzer can give you such speedy three-way relief?
And speedy is right, for Bromo Seltzer's all dissolved when you take it, ready to go to work the minute you drink it down. There's friendly comfort in its fizz, and there's scientific three-way relief for head, nerves, and stomach. Of course, if you're troubled with persistent or recurring headaches, you should see your doctor. But for an occasional splitting headache, take speedy three-way Bromo Seltzer. Now, use only as directed on the label. And just see how quickly you'll say,
"By golly, I feel better. Come on, honey, where's that movie?"
All right, Parks Johnson, who's next at Quantico?
Okay, Bill, and the hash marks on this Marine's leave tells me that he's been in here at least 4 years. Folks, I want you to meet Staff Sergeant Walter R. White. Where are you from, Sergeant White?
Bankton, Vermont.
And how long have you been in?
I've been in 7 2/3 years.
Almost right another hash mark for
almost,
right there.
Yes, quite.
Sir. Married?
Yes, I am.
Any children?
No, none yet.
No children. Huh? How long you been married?
I've been married only 7 months.
Oh, 7 months?
That's all.
Oh, practically a bridegroom. Where did Mrs. White come from?
Mrs. White is from Mississippi.
Mississippi?
That's right.
Well, how did you get together? How did you find her?
I met her in Washington.
In Washington, yeah. Ever been in the Far East, Sergeant?
Yes, I have. I just came back in March from a tour of duty in Shanghai.
Shanghai? How long were you out there?
I was out there almost 30 months.
Well, that's a tour of duty, of course. I should have understood
that's right.
that.
Did you ever see Admiral Tojo, Hobo, So-So, what's his name?
Well, I saw quite a lot of the pompous Japanese admirals when I was in Shanghai because I was in the liaison office of the 4th Regiment there where we conducted all the liaison work between ourselves and our Japanese.
I see. Well, you really, I didn't know, sure enough, when I asked you, but you really have come in contact with them. Have you you've seen the Japanese under war conditions, then, of course, in China. Will you tell me how do they train? Are they tough? What's your observation as an individual?
Well, I think one Japanese, 10 Japanese are good for one Marine almost any day.
But, 10 Japanese.
But at the same time, I think that that they are very well trained and a very competent organization in their own field because they have been under training for a good many years.
Have you seen any of that training?
I have seen it.
What do they do?
Their drill period start at 4 in the morning. They have
drill
breakfast.
At 4?
They drill from 4 until 9. They have breakfast at 9 o'clock, and then they drill at 4 in the afternoon.
All day long like that?
All day long.
Then they're off until next morning.
Then they get a meal and go to bed. One night a week, they get liberty, if they're lucky.
If they're lucky.
Yeah.
And you think 10 Japs to one American is about right?
Well, I think 1 to 2 in 6 companies has been very evidently proven in our...
I think it has.
...very recent combat.
You bet your life. I think it has. Well, Sergeant, this is just playing all like that. I know you relax sometimes here. Yeah? You don't drill all the time around here. Yeah? Do you ever play with building blocks as a baby?
I think something's coming at me now.
I think so, too. Wouldn't you like to have a set just to play in your time off?
Oh.
Bring him out here. Let's see him. Oh, boy, isn't that cute.
I think my wife would like that.
Oh, she would. All in a... Well, never mind. You never can tell. Sergeant, I wish you'd explain a couple of things for us land lovers. I've heard the expression aye-aye. Of course, the Marines are of the Navy. Is that right?
We are part of the Navy.
That's right. And you use the expression aye-aye often. Just when do you use that? And when do you use yes, sir? Will you explain that?
Aye-aye, sir, is used in response to a direct order to do something. And yes, sir, is in response to a question.
That's right. Aye-aye only in response to an order.
If an officer orders you to do something, you repeat, aye-aye, sir.
I see. Sergeant, do civilians ever address you as mister?
Yes, sir, and most of us don't like it. I think most of the sergeants and corporals and PFCs, privates in the Marine Corps, would much rather be addressed by the title which they have so, some of them worked hard to earn. I think they'd much rather be addressed by the civilians all over this country by the title which they rate rather than by...
Private,
people,
corporal, sergeant, or what have you. Is that right?
Yes.
Sergeant, I wonder if you can give me a couple of short, dramatic reports sent in by Marines.
Well, Marines throughout the years have always been sending in dramatic reports.
Yeah.
To what do you refer?
Well, let's say some recent reports sent in by...
most recently, of course, is the world-resounding report which came from Wake Island when Major Devereaux was asked if he wanted
any
supplies, and they said, send us some more Japs.
That's right, that's one.
Another thing he said, which was a masterpiece of understatement, I think, was when the thing was just about over out there, and they were outnumbered by such a huge proportion,
mm-hmm.
and he said, the issue is still undecided.
I think those two things will always live in the minds of Americans.
They'll always live in ours, I'm sure.
You bet. And one last thing, Sergeant, how do you spell retreat?
I beg your pardon, sir?
How do you spell retreat?
Sir, I won a spelling contest once. If you'd just explain the word to me.
That's right, folks. The new Marines don't even know the meaning of the word retreat. Yes, sir, they are really our fighting men. And for another home man, Bromo Seltzer has this big three-way floor lamp. Bring it out, Bill. And to go with it, and for the kitchen, an electric automatic Silex coffee maker. Can you use them, Sergeant?
Certainly can.
Okay, newlywed. Thank you, Bill. And our next gentleman is Corporal Gerald P. Finn from New York City. Length of service, I think, is 8 years. Is it right, Corporal?
5 years in the Marine Corps, 3 years in the United States Army.
Uh-huh. Anybody ever called you Mickey Finn?
I'm afraid so.
I shouldn't be surprised. Are you American-born, by the way?
I was born in Boston, Massachusetts, but I was educated in England.
Where?
Liverpool.
Oh, did you go to college there?
St. Edward's College for boys.
St. Andrew's College?
St. Edward's College for boys.
Oh, St. Edward's. Are the Philippine Islands north or south of the equator?
They're north of the equator.
Right, sir. Were you over there?
Yes, I was over there. I spent 4 years in the Cavite Navy Yard.
What did you do?
4 months, rather.
What did you do?
Well, I was company clerk out there.
Company clerk? Somebody told me that you were also musical. Bring out that tar piano here for the corporal so he can go to work on it, will you? Do a little practicing there. Now, where did you spend the most of your time?
I spent most of my time in Shanghai, China.
Shanghai?
Shanghai.
Mm-hmm. Have any hobbies out there?
Well, I used to do a little writing for the regimental magazine.
You used to do writing?
I used to do a little writing for the regimental magazine known as the Walla Walla.
Uh-huh. Didn't I see you down here working on these drums at the concert before the program?
All right, I'll confess. That was great.
Yes, I thought so. What did you do over there?
Well, I was a member of the 4th Marine Band. I used to play in the orchestra. This is where I'm playing up here now. Play drums. Mm-hmm.
Have you had enough experience to compare Japanese marksmanship with that of a Marine?
Well, I imagine so, because we used to fight out in the range out in Hongkou, which was a Japanese portion of the international settlement.
Uh-huh. How'd they stack up?
Well, they're only allowed to shoot at about 200 yards because their eyesight is so poor, you can hardly see the target beyond that range.
Well, that's right. Even the sun guard wears a horn-rimmed spectacles, don't
right.
That's right. tell me a funny story, Corporal, will you, about a Marine? I wonder if there is one.
Well, I have one in mind. It's to do with a recruit down in Paris Island who is undergoing training.
Yes.
And he went out in the range to learn to shoot. And the coach was showing him how to hold the rifle, how to line up his sight, mm-hmm. and how to squeeze it off. But each time the recruit squeezed it off, he missed the target. The sergeant would explain again, and he'd still miss. So the sergeant became exasperated and told him, he said, listen, he said, if I was you, he said, I'd go behind that bush and blow my brains out.
Mm-hmm.
So this kid picks up his gun and goes behind the bush, and the sergeant hears his gun go off, and he says, my goodness, he took me seriously. But the kid come out and said, oh, no, I missed again.
Very, very good. Well, now, Corporal, Bromo Seltzer has a few awards here for you with its compliments. Number one, a portable radio and a fine electric razor. Fetch those out, will you, for the Corporal, and thank you very much.
Folks, in a moment, Wally and I will be back with some exciting news, not only about next week's show, but also about a new radio feature. But first, here's Bill Bivens with an important reminder, so listen carefully, please.
Friends, don't let a splitting headache make you blue and depressed, cranky and irritable. Remember, 10 cents is all it costs to try Bromo Seltzer. And believe me, you'll never know the kind of relief Bromo Seltzer can give until you try it. So next time you have a headache, don't go on suffering these miseries. Step into your nearest drugstore and ask for Bromo Seltzer. And just see what quick, comforting relief it gives. See how quickly it makes you feel more like your old self again. More alert, both physically and mentally. Ready for work or play. Ask for Bromo Seltzer by name. Because remember, only Bromo Seltzer can give you Bromo Seltzer results.
Folks, Bromo Seltzer has sent Vox Pop to Army posts, Navy bases, West Point, Annapolis, National Defense Centers. We brought to our microphones the courageous men and women who are part of our great national defense effort. We hope that these broadcasts are helping to instill in you the confidence our armed forces so richly deserve.
And now, Bromo Seltzer adds to Vox Pop another radio program. This one to take your mind off the war. Starting Thursday night on the West Coast and Saturday night in the East, Bromo Seltzer will bring back to the air that old favorite, Ellery Queen, that super mystery show that will give your armchair detectives a workout. Consult your local paper for time and station.
And 1 week from tonight, Vox Pop will be broadcasting direct from the West Point of the Air, Randolph Field, Texas. Yes, sir, we've got a great military lineup. Tonight, Quantico. Next week, Randolph Field. And the week after that, San Diego, Marines, Army, Navy. Three in a row from coast to coast.
Tonight's broadcast from Quantico does not constitute an endorsement of our products by the Navy Department nor the personnel at the Quantico Marine Barracks, as they do not endorse any product. With announcers Bill Bivens, this is the Columbia Broadcasting System.